Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is a time of reflection and repentance, a time of somber and sober reflection on our sin, contemplation even of our own mortality. It's a time as we prepare to remember the most important events in human history. But not everyone knows these things, do they? Throughout the world, and increasingly here in the United States and in other Western cultures, people are unaware, and in fact uninterested, in what God has done for us in Jesus. Much less do they understand anything about this season we call Lent. Maybe if you receive ashes on Ash Wednesday on your forehead and somebody who has no history or connection with the church, well, they would have wondered, well, what's that thing on your forehead? Or maybe they wonder why you're not joining your normal Wednesday night group for the next 5 weeks or so, or why your evenings will have to be a little different in the week leading up to Easter. Maybe they catch you humming a favorite Lenten tune, and they wonder where you've heard it, and you try to begin to think about how am I going to describe Lent to somebody? What would I say to someone who asks me what Lent is all about? Well, this Lent, we're going to consider the question, the deeper question perhaps, if someone were to ask you what Christianity is all about, what answer would you give? The author, Will Campbell, tells a story of how one of his friends had been badgering him for quite some time for a simple, concise definition of Christianity. His friend didn't want a long, fancy explanation. He wasn't looking for a bunch of doctrines or even a full-blown creed. His friend said, "I'm not too bright. Keep it simple. In 10 words or less, tell me the Christian message." What would you have said? What would I have said if I were asked to describe the Christian message using only 10 words? Which ones would we choose if we had to be so clear, so concise, so direct in what we believe? In the business world, something like this is known as the elevator speech. The idea is you should be able to explain your business, your product, your idea, and the time it takes you to ride an elevator and know you don't have 100 floors in the building to do that and figure it out with. Fact is, many of our conversations in life are very brief, aren't they? Even with our friends and family, quick encounters as we pass each other in the morning, as we stand in line at the grocery store, or if you're on Twitter, you only get 280 characters max. Maybe we don't have an elevator speech, but we do have something we call a confession. And I'm not talking about confession of sins. We do that too. We did that at the beginning of our service. No, this is the confession of faith we are all called to make. You see, the Bible is clear. To be a Christian is to confess the faith. To be a Christian is to be a confessor. Romans 10:9 puts it this way. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 John 4 says this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. The text from 1 Peter 3 today have a theme verse for this whole sermon series. Peter encourages us to plan ahead, to be ready to make a confession. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, doing this with gentleness and respect. Yes, to be a Christian is to believe the good news, to know and trust in Jesus. But to be a Christian is also to confess the good news about Jesus, to speak of him, to speak of it to people whom we know and meet. And that's just the point, isn't it? To be able to say what the good news is, to be able to explain to people who Jesus is and what impact he has on life here and now and for the future. Because there's much confusion today about that. There's misinformation, misrepresentation, maybe we call it fake news, about what Christians believe and how those beliefs shape their life. At such a time as this, we have a great opportunity and an urgent responsibility to confess clearly and confidently the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Back in 2010, there was an article published in a Christian magazine, and the article was called The Gospel in 7 Words. And this article led to a series of other articles and blog posts. If you search for this article, you'll see stuff from 2010 all the way to 2012. It was quite the event for this magazine, because the author in the initial article invited 15 prominent theologians of different stripes from around the country to give this a shot, to proclaim the gospel as clearly as they could. We might say, well, they have the Apostles' Creed. Well, they couldn't use that. And so, well, Will Campbell's friend gave him 10 words. Nope, not that many. He said, in 7 words or less, come up with a clear, concise definition of the gospel. Now, the versions were all fascinating. They were all very different. Some were faithful and true and very creatively insightful. There were some that, from our perspective, left something to be desired and maybe even missed the point altogether. But here are a few of the good ones. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. Or God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Each of those versions of the gospel is true in their own way. Each of them is consistent with the biblical message. Each of them captures an important aspect of the work and the good news of Jesus. But did you notice, right? They use different words. They use different images. They highlighted different aspects of the gospel that come from the biblical language. And they summarized the good news of Jesus in different ways. At the first, used the language of victory and undeserved affirmation. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. The second used the language of welcome. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. And the third used the language of reconciliation, bringing people back together. God was in Christ reconciling the world. So it's an interesting thought, isn't it? If someone asked me for the gospel in 7 words, how would I do that? How would you do that? Like Peter tells us, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. If someone asks you why you go to church, what you believe as a Christian, or what it means to be a Christian, could you articulate it concisely and clearly? Maybe we need to be honest with ourselves. I know I do. Maybe you'd stumble around and say, well, it's kind of complicated. Do you have a few minutes? I can't do it in just 7 words. Or maybe you'd say, well, you know, I'm not really good at explaining that sort of thing. Or, well, why don't you come to church? My pastor will tell you what I believe. Please don't do that. Not that I... That's not being prepared on your part, right, is it? We could perhaps recite the Apostles' Creed, but your friend or family might look at you funny and say, well, that's not your words. I know you got those from somewhere else. What does it mean to you? What does the gospel of Jesus mean? What is it really that you believe? And so as we go on this Lenten journey, as we prepare to celebrate the most important events in human history during Holy Week and Easter, we want to prepare to confess the hope we have because of Holy Week and Easter. And so we'd like to invite you this Lent to reflect with us about who Jesus is, who we are as his people, and consider different and various ways we might speak of that gospel, different and various ways we might confess the gospel to our friends, our neighbors, our family, anyone outside the church. And to not just think about it and talk about it, but to get practical and write something down. By the time you get to Holy Week, after you go through four more Sundays here in Lent before Palm Sunday, each of us can have a specifically crafted, a very personal